Radio Prague News.
The Public Affairs Party has ascribed its loss in the weekend Senate elections to its perception as a right-wing party. The pre-election Senate is rushing a bill on foreign military missions to forestall a veto by the incoming opposition Senate. And the winners of the state prizes for culture have been announced. The Public Affairs Party has ascribed its loss in the weekend Senate elections to its perception as a right-wing party. Members of the party leadership told Czech television that they were hurt by their association with the right-wing coalition government and that the party must make sure that it is the, quote, most left party in the government, guaranteeing the social side of planned reforms and basing its platform more on ecology. What changes the party intends to take in its image and direction are to be hammered out at a conference at the end of November. The Public Affairs Party made a poor showing in municipal elections a week ago and did not win a single Senate seat in this weekend's elections to the Upper House of Parliament. The Senate has moved forward the reading of a bill on Czech army involvement in foreign missions over the next 2 years in order to forestall a veto by the incoming opposition-dominated Senate. Senate Chairman Přemysl Sobotka said that the matter should not be postponed for the sake of the troops abroad and the country's obligations to NATO. Chairman of the opposition Social Democrats, Bohuslav Sobotka, said the move made a mockery of all citizens who had come to vote in the Senate elections, in which the Social Democrats gained a majority of the upper house. The government's plan for foreign military missions until 2013 includes a temporary increase in soldiers in Afghanistan and the gradual reduction of troops in Kosovo. The Ministry of Culture announced the winners of the state prizes in culture on Monday. The state prize for literature will go to 68-year-old author Antonín Bajaja for his novel On the Beautiful Blue Drevnice. Chinese studies expert Ondřej Král will be receiving the award for translation of his lifetime of work. The prize for theater will go to Karel Kraus and the music award to Ilya Hurník. The awards include monetary prizes of 300,000 crowns and will be presented at Prague's Veletržní palác on October 28th. Officials at a clinic in Prague's Hloubětín have reported a healthy two-day-old newborn was left in their baby box on Monday morning at around 4:30 a.m. The founder of the Czech baby box system, Ludvík Hess, said that the little girl had been given the name Jana. The baby was the second in 12 hours to be left in a baby box. Another child, several days old, was left in a facility in Jindřichův Hradec. Since the system was introduced a number of years ago, 36 children, unwanted by their parents, have been saved through the baby boxes. 39 such facilities monitored by doctors are found across the Czech Republic. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be cloudy and cool, with a chance of showers on Monday and highs of 6 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, broadcasting from the Czech Republic with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up today, we give you a rundown of the weekend Senate election results that have recast the political situation in the country. And a political analyst gives his take on what the elections will mean. We'll also fill you in on the weekend sports highlights. And later in One-on-One, the British writer Misha Glenny recalls the Velvet Revolution and living in Prague 8 years earlier.
I was young, I was footloose and fancy free. I learnt Czech, I got in touch with the opposition, had all sorts of adventures. It was fab.
All that coming up, so stay tuned. The opposition Social Democrats triumphed in the weekend Senate elections, winning a majority of the upper house of parliament and pledging to use the power to slow down the government's reform drive. The vote is seen as the first real test of public support for the government's far-reaching austerity plans. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
Within hours of polling stations closing on Saturday, it was clear that the country's opposition Social Democrats had succeeded in their aim to gain control of the Senate, a victory that will enable them to slow down the government's reform drive. In elections to a third of the upper chamber, 12 of the party's candidates out of 22 in the running clinched seats, bringing the party's total in the 81-member Senate to 41. Acting party chairman Bohuslav Sobotka said he considered the elections a public vote on the government's reform plans and promised voters his party would make good use of its newly gained power.
Our aim is to correct the government's reforms. If we find that the proposals are unjust or would place an excessive burden on socially weaker groups of the population, then we will block them in the Senate. We are not going to implement a policy of no tolerance to the reforms as such. Every bill will be considered individually. We intend to be constructive and are ready to enter into a dialogue with the government on a reform which will be fair, balanced, and socially tolerable.
The centre-right Civic Democrats, the biggest party in the coalition government, lost 11 seats in the poll, bringing their ranks in the upper chamber to a mere 25 seats. The other two coalition partners also performed poorly. Topo 9, seen as the engineer of the government's austerity package, lost 4 seats to KIP 3, while Public Affairs won nothing and is not represented in the Senate at all. Putting a brave face on the defeat, Prime Minister Petr Nečas of the Civic Democrats said the opposition only had the power to delay, not overturn, the planned reforms.
The outcome of elections to the Senate and last week's municipal elections will not alter the government's reform plans by a single millimeter. The government's reform drive is based on the outcome of general elections and the subsequent coalition agreement signed by the three parties in government. It has given us a unique chance to change this country for the better, and we intend to use it. As I've said before, all key reforms will be debated with the opposition. That's standard policy based on political culture.
Despite their business-as-usual attitude, the governing coalition is clearly bracing for problems. Although the lower house, where the right has a comfortable majority, can override most Senate vetoes, the Senate can delay bills by up to 30 days before returning them to the lower chamber. Thinking to counterbalance the inevitable delays, especially concerning next year's budget, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek has already proposed calling a state of legislative emergency, a move that Prime Minister Nečas has described as premature. As the strongest party in the upper chamber, the Social Democrats will now be able to elect one of their own as Senate chairman, and they will have the final word on constitutional amendments and ratifying international agreements.
That report was by Daniela Lazarova. Political analyst Yiri Pehe says the Senate election results represent a backlash against the centre-right coalition government. He expects the outcome to make political parties and the government think again about their next moves and, whatever the constitutional weakness of the Senate, force them to consult the Social Democrats. I talked to him earlier and asked him whether the results came in as he expected.
I expected the results that we saw, and the reason is that I think the voters got a chance to express their opinions about the government for the first time, basically, in the Senate elections. There is a rising tide in the public of resistance against the government reforms.
So you interpret that this as a vote against the government reforms to some extent?
I definitely think it was a vote against the government reforms, at least in one way. I think that the voters of the Social Democratic Party were much more motivated to show up and to vote. And because the turnout in Senate elections is traditionally low, I think this is what decided in the end.
And how much damage do you think these election results is for the coalition government? How problematic are these results for it?
If you look at the elections that were held this year, this is really bad news for some political parties. The Civic Democratic Party in particular has lost three elections in a row. The elections for the the lower chamber of the parliament, Senate elections, and the municipal elections. In all of them, the party lost large numbers of deputy senators and local representatives, and that's really something that the party has to deal with. The Public Affairs Party is the biggest loser of the elections because it lost in both Senate and municipal elections in a way that can be described simply as a fiasco. And that means that there will be some re-evaluation in the government. I think that the government parties will have to really think about what they are doing and whether this is something that could backfire badly in terms of their popularity.
And on the actual legislative program of the government, how much will this threaten the government's reform programs and other policies such as sending more troops to Afghanistan?
Well, certainly the Social Democrats now have a tool which they can use to slow down government reforms and to block certain government proposals. The Senate is, of course, not a powerful institution in the Czech constitutional system, but it can block electoral reforms, constitutional reforms, and also it has to approve international agreements. And so the control of the Senate gives the Social Democrats a possibility to have something to negotiate about in the future. It means that, for example, if the government wants to send troops abroad, it will have to negotiate with the Social Democrats and perhaps make concessions somewhere else. So certainly, I would not consider the Senate elections to be as insignificant as some analysts suggest.
Political analyst Jiří Pehe talking to me earlier about what the Senate elections will change. Now I'm joined in the studio by Jan Wellinger for an update of the weekend sports news.
We begin with football. League leaders Plzeň stumbled for the first time this season, losing 4-3 to Mladá Boleslav. The loss cut short an 11-game winning streak. The team was also 18 matches without a loss. The team also conceded its most goals against an opponent since March. Back then, Plzeň lost 4-0, as it happens also against Mladá Boleslav. They now sit atop the table ahead of the nearest team in second place, Olomouc, by 9 points. In other football action on Sunday, Prague club Slavia went into their game against Cheske Bukovice knowing a loss would see the team plummet to the bottom of the standings. In the end, the team staved off that possibility. Slavia scored 4 times to triumph easily over Cheske Bukovice. The final score was 4-0, and Slavia now sit in 9th spot. On Monday, Prague club Sparta face Liberec. Incidentally, on Monday, Ostrava announced that they will replace coach Miroslav Kobek. The club is far from satisfied with the team's results, leading them to call off their arrangement. Ostrava lost 3-1 with Jablonec on Sunday and would be in very last place if they weren't better off than Úzký nad Labem on points. Brno is in second to last place after running rampant over Slovácko 7-0. Turning to hockey now, Czech club Vítkovice beat Litvínov 4-2 on Sunday to return to the top of the standings over Cheské Budějovice, who lost 2-4 against Plzeň. Meanwhile, in action overseas, Czech forward Tomáš Fleissmann scored the winning goal in overtime for the NHL's Washington Capitals at the weekend, defeating Atlanta by a score of 4-3. Another Czech who's been doing well, Washington goalie Michal Neuwirth, was also instrumental in that win, turning away 29 shots. And the Capitals had lost their 2 previous games. We turn to cyclocross, and Czech cyclocross racer and world champion Zdeněk Škybar won the 2nd race of the World Cup circuit at the weekend in Plzeň. It's his 7th win in a row this season. Škybar won the elite men's race in front of his home crowd after leading most of the race together with teammates Pavels and former world champion Niels Albert. The 26-year-old Czech rider tops the rankings with 440 points. He's followed by the United States' Jeremy Powers in 2nd place, who has 377. And finally, we turn to speed skating. Speed skater Martina Sablíková has gotten off to a successful start in the new season. She won her first start in the 3 kilometer in Berlin. She finished roughly 20 seconds ahead of her nearest competitor, German racer Bente Kraus. Fellow Czech racer Kateřina Erbanová was 3rd. So, not surprisingly, overall, the Czech team coach, Petr Novák, expressed satisfaction regarding the team's performance. And that's all the sport today.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now it's time for the last part of our show today here on Radio Prague, which is one-on-one. The British broadcaster Míša Glenný was one of the most important foreign journalists in Eastern Europe when the region's communist system started falling like dominoes at the end of the 1980s. He was particularly well-placed to cover the Velvet Revolution in Czechoslovakia, having spent a year living in Prague in his student days. Glenný discusses his experience in those days and more with Ian Willoughby in this week's edition of One on One.
The English journalist and writer Míša Glenný is perhaps best known for his work covering the disintegration of Yugoslavia and the hit 2008 book MacMafia. His first book, The Rebirth of History, published in 1990, focused on the post-communist political landscape of Eastern Europe, including Czechoslovakia, a country with which he had a close association. Indeed, Míša Glenný had studied Czech in Prague, and remembers with fondness his time here in the early 80s. When we spoke recently at the close of the Forum 2000 conference in the city, he recalled his very first visit towards the end of 1980.
I'll never forget seeing, you know, the Rude Pravo building, all the slogans about Se Sovietskim Svazem na Vyechne Chasi and these sorts of things. And it was incredibly sort of Cold War romantic sort of thing. And I knew I had to learn a Slav language. My father spoke Russian very well. And so I thought, I will come back and instead of learning Russian, I will learn Czech. And I applied for and got a British Council scholarship to be here from September 1981 through to June 1982. So I was here for 10 months, na Petřinách, at the Kole up there. And, God, it was wonderful. It was probably the most wonderful year of my life, even though it was kind of miserable because it was mature normalization. So, you know, everything was very irritating. But, you know, I was young. I was footloose and fancy free. I learnt Czech. I got in touch with the opposition, you know, had all sorts of adventures. It was fab.
Did you come back many times between then and 1989?
I came back a lot after I'd been there because I had friends and so on, and they couldn't come and see me, obviously. And then in 1986, I moved to Vienna and became, first of all, a correspondent there for The Guardian. And then at the beginning of 1989, I was appointed to the BBC Central Europe correspondent job. So I traveled from Vienna to Prague all the time, back and forth, reporting.
And there were no restrictions on you as a foreign reporter?
Well, I had to apply for my povolenie, my permit and so on. This is post-Helsinki. And so we had quite a lot of freedom. I was arrested a couple of times and then I was on the May the 1st demonstration in 1989. I was beaten up somewhat by the STB, by the secret police, and thrown in prison for a day or so. But on the whole, we were able to dig quite deep in terms of what was going on, not just the stories about the dissidents and what was happening in the party, but also a lot of social stories where you kind of felt things were changing. I mean, we were all expecting the change. I have, you know, unlike most intelligence agencies in the West, we knew that the end was near because everything was just falling apart. Not so much here in Czechoslovakia, but certainly in Poland and Hungary was unsustainable as well.
What are your strongest memories of the actual revolution itself here?
It was just amazing. It was quite bad weather, you know, from November 17th onwards. And I was driving backwards and forwards the whole time between Prague and Bratislava because I felt nothing was being covered in Slovakia and that you needed to do that. So I would, you know, rush from one demo in Bratislava then up to a demo in Prague, and it was fantastic, you know, because I knew Dienstbe, I knew Havel, I knew most of the new government, and so I knew what was happening in terms of who was going to be in the new government, how it's going to be formed, what the party was doing. It was just professionally the most spectacular time of my life. And I also thought, and personally as well, you know, I mean, look, I was a BBC reporter, but I thought the communist system here in Czechoslovakia was particularly stupid in many respects. And I wasn't sad to see it go. So professionally and personally, it was just wonderful, the whole thing. Of course, what I hadn't anticipated was what I was really gearing up for at the time, which was the wars in Yugoslavia, which was really, you know, from the sublime to the utterly tragic, this whole thing. And also, I was deeply disappointed with the split between the Czech lands and Slovakia. I thought that was unnecessary, and I'm glad to see that Slovakia came in on into the European Union in 2004 as well, and that effectively now there is no tension between the two parts.
Is it my imagination, or did I read somewhere that during the revolution people chanted your name here?
It is true. I was going, this was on, I think this was on about the 19th or the 20th. There was a demo which began way up near the bridge, you know, the bridge across the valley that leads to the Palazzo Cultori. They started there, and I was sort of darting backwards and forwards, rushing here and there. And at the time, my voice was very well known. And somebody said, oh, look, it's Misha Glennie, it's Misha Glennie. And then they all started chanting, at Gia Misha Glennie, at Gia Misha Glennie, which I thought was most amusing. Unfortunately, I didn't get it on tape.
How do you feel all these years later when you come back here and you see how things have developed?
Well, you know, I find the advertising a bit much, and a lot of the sort of commercialism of the city centre. Although, having said that, I find it's very easy to get out of the commercialism in the city centre and just going to some of the you know, districts outside. You can find the same pub atmosphere. You can still get drunk for very little money, which, you know, as a student, that was part of the entertainment. Now, of course, I'm much more sober and sensible than that. You know, if you have friends, if you know people in the city, you can still get a sense of what it was like before. And there is this, you know, there was this fantastic sort of communist aesthetic where it was all rather grim and boring, but you saw the buildings, which were fantastically beautiful. Prague was a very different experience from somewhere like Bucharest, which is just was so depressing. And Prague was depressing, but you could always find ways of lightening things up, usually through the people. These days, I have to say, I'm not hugely enamored of the political culture. I think that the whole Klaus phenomenon is one which I find, frankly, quite unappealing. And I also think that Václav Havel, you know, although his heart was in the right place, turned out to be a rather bad politician in terms of tactical and strategic sense. So it hasn't been as effective as a country as it might have been, but it is still, you know, Czechs are still, in relative terms, very hard-working, very creative, and an interesting bunch. Just one observation, which is very odd. Of course, London is now flooded with Poles. Wherever you go, there are Poles absolutely everywhere. Very few Czechs come to live and work in London, and not that many in Germany. Obviously, there are more in Germany, but it's interesting. I mean, they're more content in their own skins, the Czechs, in a way, than the Poles are. And that, I think, is to do with the underlying economic strength, relatively, of Bohemia and Moravia.
Have you maintained friendships with people you knew here 30 years ago?
Yes, I have. In fact, last night when I was drinking with the pop idol star Ondřej Hema, you know, who's a great lad from the old days. going to be 60 next year. Can you imagine? And one of the chief organizers of Forum 2000, which I'm attending now, Olda Cerny. When Olda, before the revolution, was head of dubbing at Barrendorf Studio, we used to translate films together. So I helped him translate Alien into Czech. And I remember also doing Time Bandits as well, which the authorities then banned because the final scene includes a supreme being, and they decided this was offending the atheist sensibilities of the party. So that never got through. But we had a great time doing it. And, of course, after that, there was nothing to do, so we'd just go off drinking and playing cards. And we had the time of our lives. So there are people like Alder and Entre who I still see, and other people, and it's great. I mean, their lives are completely different now, of course, and so is mine. But it's, you know, it's really nice having a touch of the old nostalgia now and then.
That was British broadcaster Misha Glenny, and that edition of One on One by Ian Willoughby takes us to the end of our programme here on Radio Prague. Please tell us if you've got any thoughts on what you've heard on the show today. The postal address is Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. The address for emails is english@radio.cz. As always, everything you've heard in the programme can also be found at radio.cz. There you'll also find a huge archive of reports and features in both text and audio form. You can also sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from myself, Chris Johnston, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and goodbye.